when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and or listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. I'm your host, entertainment writer Nicole Weaver, and I am back to talk about Love is Blind Season 8. I know that maybe some of you are over it. Some of you might still be diving into the post-season dramas. But I kind of wanted to do a special episode looking back at this season as definitely the most bisexual, pansexual, fluid season we had yet, and just really dissecting like how that affected also probably one of the least diverse seasons we had yet in Minneapolis. So I, of course, want to kick things off with Brittany. And before I get into Brittany, actually, I do want to say, please hit the subscribe button if you are interested in more reality TV content through a Black queer lens. If you are solely through YouTube watching this podcast, I very much appreciate you, but also know that we are Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So if you're ever on the go and want to do the audio only, go for it. But also if you can rate the podcast 5 stars and leave a review, that would be so, so helpful for more people to find the podcast. And of course, if you have a friend who is also into reality TV and wanting a different perspective than the usual that you get out there, please suggest this podcast. Now, back to the bisexual task. I'm kind of being Alice in the L Word, which is very me. Like, if I was any better at graphics, I would just have lines connecting all of this cast and how they're interwoven. So we're going to get into it. Brittany had a very interesting story. As we can remember, she was talking to Devin in the pods. They were each other number one. It seems like a match made in heaven, very love and basketball. But Brittany then reveals that she had relationships with women in her past, and the tone completely shifts. Afterwards, it came out that Brittany had another option. So she said peace to him. He did not fight it. That other option was Mo, a Capricorn and an Aries, which we'll talk about how many Capricorns, Aries, Tauruses there were this season. So Mo and her were in a relationship. I don't believe that they got engaged. Brittany said, and she told this to Storytime with Ricky, that she chose not to continue filming with him after he said he didn't know if he could get there with her. So it's like, yeah, why waste any of our time? They dated for some time afterwards and broke up. There was a little bit of drama during the season because Mo was trying to claim that Brittany was not telling the truth. And then there was more about why that relationship was not continuing. That was Brittany's journey. The season basically starts with someone coming out and then not getting full acceptance. It kind of harkens back almost to season one, except we saw a black man come out and have a really bad reaction when his partner was also like, isn't this something you should have disclosed earlier? Which is like, why we're monogamous, which Brittany also tells Devin, like, you're so worried about this, but I am monogamous. If I'm with you, I'm with you. So where's the hesitancy? And it's like, the hesitancy is homophobia. So what's so interesting is that this actually plays, it has such a long game, and how this then played out when he moved on to Virginia. He gets engaged because, like I said in our recaps with Princess Weeks, Devin was ready. He said, I'm leaving here with something. That something was the beautiful Virginia Miller, but it doesn't come out till much later because, according to Virginia, he would also try to avoid political conversations. Apparently, he was better than Ben at this, because at least Ben's political red flags were so apparent to Sarah in the pod directly. Virginia said that her and Brittany actually kept their distance from each other. So she had no clue. And she said this on What's the Reality podcast with AD, that she did not know the reason that Devin and Brittany didn't work out. So she later finds out about his views, and it's at the reunion where she says, I'm not comfortable speaking on Devin's views, but just know I am with the LGBTQ. I am supportive of them. That is my perspective. So on the What's the Reality recap, Virginia said if she knew, it could have affected her decision to say yes to Devin's proposal. And I love that. That is giving sister, that's giving allyship. But also, I would say it's also given self-protection. This is not Brittany really needed like Virginia's support. No, I think you, even as a straight woman, are saving yourself if you turn down or reject a homophobic man, because homophobia is so closely tied to misogyny. I mean, just the thought of a man being feminine is now so scary, and that's where the phobia is, and it challenges gender roles and whatnot. So what do you think his perspective on gender roles, how that's going to affect your relationship and how he treats you, a woman? So I thought that was such an interesting way about how that all came back around. I wish we saw Brittany at the reunion, but yes, I say that Brittany still takes the cake for standing up for herself in the moment, and she comes back and gets another digging at Devin. I loved it. So from here, let's talk about bisexual in this cast. We had Madison. Now, Madison, she was in a love triangle as well with Mason and Alex. Madison says that she actually came out during the season to the men and it was not an issue, and therefore it was not shown in the episodes. I mean, there was just so much. It probably would have been a more interesting conversation, actually, for Madison to come out to them and have that conversation than, like, I mean, we had cream pie talks. Like, at least with Alex, it was, like, trauma conversations and attachments and things that would seriously affect a relationship. But Mason, there was hardly any depth there. Even if it was just her coming out to him, at least it would have shown that there was some vulnerability there. But they didn't even bother with that. But Madison, she gets caught in this situation that later comes back in the season. So once Madison realized she had a stronger connection with Alex, dumps Mason, which, by the way, she dumped him with a literal cream pie in front of her, because Mason thought it was so clever to gift her one after their ridiculous jokes. And it's like, yeah, after you give that kind of gift, you should be dumped. And she even took that tray back and said, breakups taste so good. So, a queen. So, at the reunion, we are finding out Madison, the bisexual baddie, is still a magnet for trash men. So Mason and Meg, they call themselves reuniting. It's so transparent that Mason was just not that into Meg. He was not that into Meg in the pods, and she could tell, and he was not into Meg outside of the pods, because they never even really said that they dated. It gave, oh, we hang out, and Meg was so hype about it, but they were never official. And yet, Meg has all this energy, like Madison was the one woman who like ruined it. I mean, I will say, Madison was trying to save Meg from herself by being like, yeah, I told him that he might lose both of us, and that he ain't ish, but she could have never foresaw how much of a pick me Meg is. So yeah, she was more mad at Madison than anything. Then there was the whole Joey situation. At the reunion, we find out that Joey messaged Madison and complimented her pink hair after seeing her at the event. He was engaged to our beautiful Monica, just stunning and graceful the whole entire time. Apparently, Joey was also just not that into Monica, but we would have never known until this reunion and like the last two or three episodes. So, I loved at the reunion that Madison was standing strong and like, no, Joey, like, you are not innocent, even though you're playing as, oh, this was such an innocent little message. You were engaged to another woman. And then now knowing that Joey has been flirting and having this whole situation with Sarah, it makes even more sense that he said, you know, oh, well, I messaged multiple people, like, quick cover, like, did not know he was also avoiding getting in trouble with another woman. So, Madison, she has been able to be a magnet to these terrible men. I love that she uses that, though, as an opportunity to show these other women and be like, hey, this is what's happening with this guy. Doesn't look cool. And it truly is up to these other women whether to listen and see it for what it is. But going into this season being such a bisexual, queer season, just like with Brittany, where the rejection of her with Devin, if Virginia would have known, could have saved her from a lot of hurt in that, or just a sign that that guy was also not going to be for her in several ways. It's the same thing with Madison. It's like, these guys aren't it. And I'm going to tell you that, and then it's up to you on what you want to do with that. I feel like Madison was such a good, transparent truth teller, and that's very dangerous in hetero society. And I think with most seasons, we would have seen her like tarred and feathered online, which Madison absolutely was. Like, people were going in on her for no reason, because this is a very straight show. But for me, as a bisexual woman watching, I was just like, this is actually pretty refreshing that by the reunion, I feel like all of these not straight women were like sitting here and just sitting at the truth. They were like the undercurrent of the whole entire season, and the payoff is at the finale. Again, Brittany should have been at the finale, especially since they wanted to use her to tease the whole season. Used Alex as well. They both didn't make it through the whole process, but then Alex is still sitting there on the couch being a weirdo. But Brittany can't show up and say something to Devin or back up Virginia. Okay, then we have Sarah. Now, this is where queerness still came into the season. And it was very weird because it was actually straight people talking, but through their straight narrative, they end up having a lot of queer people be involved with their story. So with Sarah, I think I have Sarah and Joey here just to say, Sarah, you're in danger, girl. You were in danger that whole time with Ben. You tried and tried and tried, kept failing at that. And now we're with Joey. And it's like, I just can only imagine what Sarah was even thinking when the whole Joey and Madison thing came up. And apparently Monica told a news outlet, I was scrolling on TikTok, so I didn't get to know which one it was, but apparently Vanessa Lachey did bring up that there's rumors about Joey and Sarah, and they both denied it. Apparently Monica was completely shocked by this line of questioning, and this is when Monica is like, oh, so afterwards it's, is there something you want to tell me, Sarah? And Sarah's saying, according to Monica, oh, well, I didn't want to, like, say anything. We're trying not to be public and wait for the hate to die down. Meanwhile, like, this bisexual is getting in the line of fire of just telling the truth. Like, it's insane. This is just... it's so wild, it's so trash, but it is what it is. Again, if you just listened to two women who aren't so centered, and it's not saying that bisexual women cannot be male-centered. They absolutely can. I have been there. I have been there as a person who was still not fully accepting of my queerness. But... once you go through your internalized homophobia, biphobia, and really evaluate, like, okay, why have I been so focused on men? What part of it is parental expectations, societal expectations, and all of this? The freedom of not being so male-centered is just that. It's freedom. You're not making wild decisions over and over like this. Now, I did want to talk about another, like, okay, this is where we have our yarn. So, Madison actually revealed, yes, I came out in the pods. You didn't see it. Also, there was a woman in the cast that I have previously matched with on Hinge. And me and Princess talked about this. We were like, who could it be? All we knew was Brittany was the one person confirmed as not straight. And then that's when Princess was like, well, what about Vanessa? And I'm like, you're just looking at her and just thinking she's queer, which I understand, but I actually cut that segment because I'm like, I don't like doing the whole sussing out without confirmation. Well, we got confirmation because Cassandra, which we did not see at all this season, she did do an interview actually with Vanessa. And Vanessa was like, you need to tell this story. Vanessa and Cassandra basically said, okay, I did go to the pods and basically I saw Madison, Madison saw me, and Madison came up to her and she was like, so you remember how we matched on Hinge like a year ago? And they kept following each other after that. It didn't go any further. Apparently Cassandra did not find a connection, so she went home a little earlier. But what I think is so funny is that Cassandra also apparently is a Taurus. So if we go back, so Madison, oh my God. Let's look at these sun signs. So Madison's a Leo, which makes complete sense because look at how much is revolving around her right now. Madison, the Leo, but a Pisces, Moon, Libra, Rising, Gemini, Venus, according to her on Instagram. Her two connections, Alex and Mason, were Tauruses in the pods. Then there's Joey, a Taurus, who tries to hit on her. She says, go somewhere else. Love that for her. But then Cassandra was a Taurus. I need casting. Casting already won't rule out people with children or like look for anything sus like that. But like if I had a queer season of Love is Blind, which is kind of partially the inspiration for this whole video. You have to have diversity of the signs, because this is wild. Wild. How is that possible? But yeah, I hope. It looks like Madison's going to end up a perfect match. Would be cool. They kind of always have a bisexual on Perfect Match before it was Dominique last season, which that didn't go well because there was homophobia allegedly there, according to Dominique. I wrote about that for Collider. And then the first season had Francesca Farrago. So they will probably try to have another queer woman in there because they've done that, I think, at least once each time to try and be a little queer. But it's so, all of their other dating shows that they pull from are so male-centered. It's rough. It's rough. It's kind of like the real dating numbers for bisexual women. So insulted over and over for like ending up with men, but it's like a number game. It's a number game. The numbers of queer women, it's, if you go in lesbian, is smaller. Bisexuals are actually the majority of the LGBT, even though we're hardly ever seen. You got to try and find another bisexual maybe and make it work, but that's part of this podcast, baby. Let's get some more bi for bi propaganda and switch these up. But if you're going into straight spaces like Love is Blind, yeah, you're probably going to end up with a dude. That's the lesson. Perfect Match producers, please cast more queer people to make it a little bit more interesting. But the other queerness that we got in the season, besides summing up again, Madison and a previous Hinge connection, Cassandra. That's two queer baddies right there. Then we have the whole Brittany situation. And that's queer baddie right there. No labels. But also that queerness and her being kind of dumped for that and everything also came back to bite at the reunion. So that gives another level of queerness to this very straight show. And it's so interesting. I feel like there was like a queer undercurrent reckoning. And that queer undercurrent reckoning was coming for Ben. And I love to see it. So Sarah's original connection was with Ben in the pods, this Capricorn. She was asking some good, hard questions. And Ben was failing every time. And for some reason, this Capricorn was like, I'm still going to make this work. So yes, Ben, he fails at the Black Lives Matter conversation. She goes to Virginia to be like, what should I do? And Virginia's like, well, do you feel like this man can grow? Of course, Sarah's like, yes. And moves forward, and they're talking about how he feels about the LGBTQ community, but he can't say LGBTQ. So, and this, most importantly, is important to Sarah because her sister is a lesbian. And these lesbians, they finally show up, and they also gave me life. I wish they were there from the very beginning. But this line of questioning that the sister and partner gave was great. We talked about politics. We talked about, okay, how do you guys do align? Sarah says they do align with the whole fiscally conservative, socially liberal, blah, blah, blah. And then at the wedding, we had that great juicy little moment of her sister and her partner whispering about what they think is going to happen. White Lotus. So good. So good. That was the queerness of it all. And again, the way if Sarah just listened to what these men were doing with the queer women that were around her, Madison, and how they were talking, Ben can't even say LGBTQ, it would have saved her time and heartbreak. but the straight girl can't do it. She's tunnel, the Capricorn can't do it. She's tunnel focused, has to say no at the altar, tries to date him later, and then apparently ghost. And now Ben's also trying to spin that whole story, and now there's more receipts and whatnot coming out. Wild. But I think this, the theme of this is just listen to bisexual queer women about these men. And then, and by the way, Ben supposedly has a lesbian friend. Also, never shows back up again. Was not, that we can see, there the wedding day. So, would have loved if the lesbian friend would have gotten a free ticket to go to that reunion and give her perspective watching the season back. But it is what it is. So, our last little bit of where queerness came in season 8. Because there's one more, even though you're like, maybe thinking of like, Nicole, where are you going with this? Dave and Lauren. Straight as can be. Their conversations still had some interesting conversations about sexual freedom, because it's like, can this woman possibly have a friends with benefits before and then come on looking for love? And it's like, yes. If she wanted a husband with that person, it would have been. I just, maybe it is a double standard, because I do think if a man had the same past, it would be questionable. But then again, we have seen men hide full on biological kids on here. So, and I don't think there really has been any women who were put on blast, like Homeboy from a season or two ago, who had text read out loud with the help of Vanessa and Nick Lachey, because he was full on saying, oh, I love you and I'm coming back home to you. Like, no woman is that diabolical in doing that. So I think that friends with benefits get a free pass, because if you ain't, if you're single, you're single. Now, with Lauren, the only little tint of queerness in Lauren's story is the cute Molly. Molly at the reunion, she's still single. She had a connection with Dave, seemed like they were going to be front runners. Then Lauren pretty much sells out Molly to him, and it's like, well, Molly's saying this and this. And now he's like, well, Molly seems like a troublemaker. And again, it's like, these women are just truth tellers, and these men cannot hang. It's the same allegations of, like, women be gossiping. And it's like, gossip's good. Gossip's very good and can protect women. So, in the end, Lauren, she moves forward anyways with Dave, and that bites her in the butt. I thought it was very interesting at the reunion that Vanessa Lachey then asked Molly, Have you met anyone during this almost year since filming? Molly's like, oh, I've just been hating men. Interesting you would say that. And then Vanessa asked, any women? And I'm like, that's not a normal question. I would love it. I would love it if those hosts asked about just anyone. But if you're going to gender it, let's gender it. And Molly doesn't say, I don't go that way. So apparently Vanessa knew something we didn't. And then, if you remember, Molly was actually very supportive of Lauren when Dave was basically not believing a word she would say and would refuse to basically act like they were engaged. He said that his family doesn't meet anyone, including his fiance. So Molly basically tore him a new one, and it was giving the same energy as Madison. And I guess some people are like, oh, a woman supporting a woman, they might kiss, because I guess it's just that rare for straight women. And it's like, straight women, I need you to work on your PR, because it's not looking good. But the reason why I included Molly She did an interview, I want to say it was with like Entertainment Tonight, and they were like, oh, people are shipping you and Lauren because of how close they basically became. I mean, in that night out, they were joking about maybe we should like date the same man again, and they were like, no. So they were like, yeah, people are shipping you and Lauren, how you feel? And Molly's like, I'm down. Lauren's here tonight. I might try. So I don't know how Molly identifies, but more queer energy. So,
hello, future Nicole here. I realized that I forgot another aspect of queerness that involved Lauren and Dave's story. How could we forget the lesbians who also really teach spinning classes? So when Lauren was at her wit's end with a straight man, she turns to them, her good friends, who can then back up her story about how the relationship with this other man wasn't serious at all, that she wasn't with him right before she left. Maybe it was more like a week before. And basically said that this guy's character is so questionable. Of course, Dave does not believe them at the moment. He was bold enough to basically allude that they could be lying, which they look so perturbed in that scene. But it's just so obvious that Dave just wanted an out. The minute he heard something like this, he was going to leave. But again, it just shows queer women once again being there to be the truth tellers. It takes basically the man acting out during the airing of the season for Dave to be like, oh, this was about attention for this other man. I mean, he could have just listened to lesbians, but just another aspect of believe queer women. That was the underlying theme of this season. And back to wrapping up this video.
Season 8, I believe, has to be the queerest season yet. I feel like if more of these castmates just listen to their, first of all, intuition. I think a lot of them kind of knew something was up and ignored the signs because the pressure of the show, the pressure of society, of like even thinking a husband's a prize and wanting to be optimistic about people being better. And it's like, I'm working on my optimism, but I'm just more of a pessimist. Like, it would have saved so much time for everyone, but it gave some interesting stories and much needed discussion, especially what's happening in our country right now. It's definitely a reflection of where we're at in this country. But yeah, I think some of the most interesting cast members were the women who weren't straight and didn't make it all the way through. Molly, Brittany, and Madison. And I can only hope we will see them again, or just that they're gonna have a good life doing whatever that they do. But I do think season 8 stands out a little differently, at least to me, because of the queer elements in this. I mean, queer femmes, or just not straight femmes, they can truly be like the canary in the coal mines for trash misogyny, trash ideas of gender roles, and all of that. And I think it all just paid off in the end, and with all of these women are saying. And I think the women who don't see themselves as straight are also some of the most supportive people to the other women. I mean, Virginia said that she was not close to Brittany in the pods because she wanted to stay in her own bubble, but they are close now. Like, Molly and Lauren seem cool as hell. During the middle of the season when it was focused on just the engaged cast, I saw Madison, Molly, Brittany, all those pod girly pops basically hanging out, and it looked like a fun time rather than the miserable situation that a lot of these straight women in these relationships were held to. So it's weird. Honestly, I think this kind of shows maybe the best parts of the season was just not even on screen at all. And yet, like I said, it plays out in a lot of the breakups that happened this season. So I was just celebrating, basically celebrating for like most of these women of being free, and having each other, which again is like queerness in itself, whether it's just friends or romantic. It's just being free of misogyny and like unfair roles that are placed on them. So will we ever get a queer season of Love is Blind? I highly doubt it. Producers almost always act like it's an impossible. They just can't think of the boxes of gender, like, beyond it. It's too fun for them. I feel like there's so much transphobia because it's like, how do we market or do anything if we don't split everyone into the blue and pink boxes, you know? And it's so uncreative. But that's where we're at. I feel like, I don't know, this is probably the closest we're going to get, and it still was very interesting. I can only imagine people who are not into politics or trying to think very deeply probably hated this season because of the topics. These women were not letting these men off easy, even the straight ones. I will say that. So it was frustrating to watch in some ways, but I just want to I want to give all of the non-straight women in this season their kudos for what they did, because they really did at least make what could have been a very white, boring season into something a little bit more challenging and interesting. I still don't think season 8 is going to be like a top season when we look back, if we have another like top 10 look back or whatever that Love is Blind montage at the reunion was. But I also don't think it's at the bottom. I think it's somewhere in the middle. And I think if there were people who are like me that kind of look at history through pop culture, like, oh my goodness, this absolutely reflects where we're at as a society. It's almost like an important season, even if it's not the most entertaining or the most romantic or the best. So those are my thoughts. I'm not going to do a beautiful black moment or a chaotic queer one or anything, because we did that for every recap. If you haven't watched Black Bi Reality's recaps, I suggest you go back and watch. I did it with Princess Weeks, who is a great video essayist, YouTuber, and my friend. We have also recapped other previous seasons with my friend Quita Tinsley. We'll see what we're going to do about Perfect Match. I recapped it last season and it did kind of well. And for right now, I'm watching Survivor 48. I am making some shorts with reactions to that. I'm still kind of talking about Love is Blind as well, obviously. And we have talked about so many other things like The Traitors and Just Like That, Big Brother on this podcast. If you're interested in any of that, then please subscribe to this channel. Follow the feed, like I said, on Apple and Spotify, and leave a review if you could. Let me know your thoughts if you noticed during the season how queer, bisexual, pansexual this season was, and if now looking back with that lens, where you place season 8, and what are your thoughts of if we ever got a bisexual, pansexual, Love is Blind? I will say, if you are craving a queer show, we have talked about them. There's Couple to Throuple on Peacock, and we did recaps with some of your favorite podcasters like Mari Fourth and also reality stars from Survivor and Big Brother. We also talked about I Kissed a Girl, which is a British UK show, and now available on Hulu in America. So if you're interested in that, I also did so many interviews with that cast. I really hope it comes back this season. We should be going at Peacock to be like, you're done with the traitors. Give us another season, Couple of Throuple. But we'll see. Other than that, I'm gonna go, guys. I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye.